What's going on, man?
What is up?
Man, it feels like forever since we've just done one of these random video game, TV show, movie, whatever floats our boat type episodes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Before we start, a couple things, a couple little housekeeping, but things I want to mention. First one is shout out to the Barney brothers. And the loss of their dad, Ed Barney. He's a great guy. I spent so much time over at their house and down the shore with them, and their dad, obviously. So just, you know, thoughts and well wishes with them and their family. I guess that we kind of had to mention the Baltimore Bridge, don't we? The Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Yeah, as we record this, that happened about 18 hours ago, roughly. We'll get this posted here the next day or so. But I got up really early this morning, and I popped open Twitter and was just kind of scrolling through. And to be quite honest, I was looking up Monday Night Raw results and trying to look up videos. And I caught a couple cool videos, and all of a sudden, all I see is bridge collapse. And I hit that and was like, wait, what? Like, I've driven over that bridge several times.
Yeah, same.
And yeah, and it was just like, wow. And horrible accident. And definitely thoughts, prayers, well wishes, you know, good vibes out to all involved. And I want to say a shout out to some of the articles I've read. Really sounds like they had some quick acting construction workers that were on the bridge doing some overnight work.
So the ship, it lost propulsion, couldn't stop, because when it loses propulsion, it loses everything. It can't, you know. And so they called out a mayday as soon as they realized what was going on. Between that communication to the DOT and getting the workers notified as much as they could, they were able to shut down traffic, and you know, they got people off. But it was it's terrible. It's you know,
yeah, absolutely horrible. And just the visuals are terrible. Just watching the videos and some of the aftermath pictures during the daytime. Oof.
Yeah.
All right. So we kind of went through right before we started recording here, and just kind of went through, and you know, we had some highlights on different, you know, video games and different movies and different, you know, TV shows, and just things we're watching, things we're playing, things we're, you know, excited for. You know, anything in particular you want to kind of start us out with here that jumps to the front of your mind?
So, South Park Snow Day came out, launched at $30. So no crossplay. I was surprised it was only $30, and then I found out it didn't have crossplay, and things started to click. It seems like it's kind of a budget title. Looks kind of fun, probably not really my cup of tea, but the graphics look really, really good. Like, if you remember the N64 South Park game, and the jump to this, it's so different. Like, you know, Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole were great, but it was more like the animation from the TV show.
Right.
This one is fully rendered 3D models, like what they tried to do with the South Park game, where you were throwing snowballs at turkeys.
Gotcha.
Or pea balls at turkeys. but this is like a fully rendered 3D, and it's pretty cool. Again, probably not going to be something I pick up, especially without crossplay, because nobody has an Xbox except for me. From what I gather, it's more like an online kind of roguelike. It's almost like Diablo, but with South Park characters.
Yeah, I don't know much about this one. I'll be honest, this one really wasn't on my radar. But it is out there for the Switch, PS5, PC, and as you said, the Xbox, but no crossplay. It's funny too. It seems to be a love it or hate it too amongst the reviewers. But no, these screens look good.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't on my radar, but no, it, you know, it's it does look good. They did a good job graphically with it.
I also wanted to say about I gotta shock you here. I'm gonna give you some shocking news, okay? And I want you to brace yourself for this. So we all know that I have recently gotten back into playing Madden. You know, with Coach Madden passing, I said, you know what, I gotta give it a shot. And so Madden 23 was the first Madden I'd bought since, like, it's gonna sound stupid, but Madden 25, when that came out for Xbox, when it was the 25th anniversary, they called it Madden 25.
Yeah,
I don't know if they didn't think they were gonna get to 2025 or what, but you know, that'll be the one that comes out this year, is Madden 2025. Oh, we got shit. That reminds me too. We got to talk about something else too. But so I've been playing Madden a lot, and you know, I didn't have Madden 24 for my Xbox, and I was like, you know what, I don't really want to buy it, because I really wanted to play a football game, but I was like, I really don't want to buy Madden 25 or 24 for the Xbox, knowing that in a few months we're gonna have college football. And then we're going to get the new Madden. So why get it? And then, so I hooked up my 360 and I went and decided that I was going to try to play 2K5. And I played a game of 2K5 and it wasn't good.
Really?
I was good. It wasn't as much fun anymore. Like, the controls seemed so off.
Mm.
So
is that from comparatively to playing it to newer Madden then?
Yeah. So, like, I couldn't really get into it. I'm like, man, this is rough. This is really rough. And I had to stop playing it. I unplugged 360. I put it back in the closet. And I think my time with 2K5 might be over.
That gave you a good run though.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? It's 2024 now.
Exactly. Almost 20
years. Out in 20 or in 2004.
Yeah. Yeah. So right, 20
years, out of it.
Yeah.
You know, can't complain about that.
No. And, you know, and maybe I always say this with certain video games, like, you know, it's easy to go back and play like Super Mario Brothers or any of those NES classic type games, because even though it's not like playing Odyssey or whatever, the controls are simple. Yet it's still at times, obviously, can be very difficult to master, even though it's easy to play and easy to learn.
Right.
And that's what makes those games so fun. We can get in the whole series about there's reasons why those games are designed that way. And I think that's what Tecmo Super Bowl still has such a foothold in, is because, again, it's easy to learn. Can be incredibly difficult to master, especially when you start playing like these people have been playing for decades at this point in tournament play, and then you find out that certain moves are banned, and you know all this stuff going on. Maybe 2K5 hits that at some point. Maybe it does hit I haven't played it in such a long time that I recall that my favorite parts were more or less, like, obviously the gameplay was fun, but the extras, the visuals, the sports center stuff, the stuff you could do with your house, and you know, all that extra stuff was just real fun. Plus, you were talking about a game that cost $20.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you were getting a lot for your value. Maybe it hits that kind of part at some point, but you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's I don't know, maybe it found its place on the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, and it could just be that maybe I just wasn't feeling it or whatever, for whatever reason, and I'm sure I'll go back to it at some point, but I was just kind of like, all right, I'm done with this for now. But we got to talk about that too, and I know it's not a Jelts, but did you see that the NFL is now using the XFL's kickoff?
I did see that. I saw an article come through about that earlier today.
Yeah, so I started watching a video on it. and I had to stop because we were finishing moving. But dude, that's going to be drastically different, and it's going to reintroduce the kickoff in a big way. And to the point that the Pittsburgh Steelers went out and signed Cordarrelle Patterson to be their kick returner. After that got that announcement, they announced, we're going to sign Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
He's going to be our kick returner.
Yeah, no, so, and it's crazy too. And I remember watching that, play out in the XFL last year, and was like, I kind of like this. And it's designed for the safety of the players.
Yeah.
Is what it's for. So you don't have, because you and I have seen this for years and years and years. Now, granted, for the most part, it's not terrible in the sense of if the fair catch is called in timely fashion for the returner. But what you don't see is all everyone else around you getting smashed.
Right.
And the kind of the car accident stuff. And that's what that does. It designs to protect, keep everyone protected, not just the returner. So,
right. And I'll tell you, like, I'll give you a quick anecdote from when I played, because I used to love playing on kickoffs. I didn't like being on the kickoff return team,
mm-hmm.
but I loved playing on kickoffs because the whole plan, all you had to do was run down the field and hit somebody.
Yeah.
And that was fun as hell to me. And I remember the opening game of our freshman year, the opening home game, I made the first tackle on the first kickoff of the season. I was so fucking happy. I was like, let's go. I was super hyped. And so later that year, I met Tommy Green. And Tommy Green asked me, and for those of you who don't know, Tommy Green was a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, pitched a no-hitter in 93, 92, 91.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in the 90s. Pitched a no-hitter. But he was on the 93 team that went to the World Series. But he was like, so, what sports do you play? I said, oh, I play baseball. I play football. And he's like, oh, yeah, what do you play in? What do you play in football? I was like, well, I play defensive back. I play a little bit of defensive end. And then I play offense. I play tight end and receiver. And I play on kickoffs. And he looks at me and he smiles and he goes, all right, so you're on the suicide squad. So, because that's what they used to call it is, because you're just running down and fucking running into somebody as hard as you can. And I know, back when we were playing, we're little kids, we're not really killing each other. But at the same time, like when you get up to the NFL and you're running down the field and you're just smashing yourself into people as hard as you can, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So I like that they're doing it for the name of player safety. And I think it's going to be more exciting. Like, I think it'll lead to more kickoff returns, less kick it out through the end zone and all that shit. So it'll put a more exciting product in the field. However, they did outlaw the hip drop tackle.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And while I feel like it'll be good for our offense with Saquon, because who the fuck's bringing Saquon down? And it'll be good as far as for kickoffs as well, because again, it's harder to tackle a player. I'm kind of concerned about how that's going to affect defense because as soon as it got announced, all you saw all over the place was, yup, this is going to be great for the NFL. Cause now when the Chiefs are losing in the AFC Championship game, they're going to get a hip drop tackle call.
Yeah.
It's going to extend a fourth down or something like that.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And on the kickoff thing too, I think we probably should say that the rules are kind of on a probationary period. It's supposed to be for 2024 only, and they could carry it on beyond that. I don't know what the rationale would be to get rid of that at that point, but I guess unless there's enough flack from players, associate, out or whatever, but.
Yeah,
that's what it's supposed to be. It's on a trial basis, basically, but I can't see that going away once they implement it.
Yeah,
since they've been talking about it for quite some time now.
The only thing I'll say, and they did implement too a rule change where you can challenge certain, or that you can review, not challenge, or maybe you can challenge, but certain penalties can be reviewed now too. So roughing the passer, that kind of stuff. Now, they had done this back in the, I think it was back in the 90s, or I think it was the 90s, where they allowed you to challenge pass interference calls. And there were, and most of what they found is that the referees didn't want to show each other up, so they were never reversing a pass interference call. Even if it was blatant that they, that it should have been reversed, they were just never reversing. I think it was something like a 6% reverse rate.
I can, I have a thought on that, and maybe see what you think here. So let's say you're the one that throws the flag, meaning that theoretically you're the one responsible for calling that penalty, right?
Yeah.
So in the sense of, okay, I'm the coach, I can throw a challenge flag. Okay, then challenge that referee on that decision. Don't put on the onus on everyone else. I realize it's a committee that makes that decision. I realize they all get together and whatever, but make the guy that threw that flag look at the video and make and say, oh, you know what, I made a mistake. This way, it doesn't necessarily show each other up type thing.
Yeah, but here's the other thing: egos come into play then.
Yeah, I know.
And then, oh, that guy's been riding my ass all fucking game. I'm definitely not fucking overturning anything that I called against his team. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point.
So that's the only thing is, I think it's a good idea, but these guys have such big egos. And you can tell, some of them want to be on TV.
Yeah.
And they call every little ticky-tack bullshit call. You know? It's just like umpires. You get the umpires out there doing these big, extravagant fucking. Oh, like, God, that's going to end up being a sound drop, isn't it?
Yep, yep. Oh, yeah, I'll have to get that one. No, you're right, though. I mean, you're right. It's a matter of just trying to, I guess, you know, hey, look at me. You know, look at me type thing.
Right.
I don't know. No, it's cool though. You know, neat that they're actually. That's one thing I do like about stuff like that in general, and other sports, and you know, we can get on a more of an extended thing when we do a Jelts on this. But, you know, look, they're adapting, they're changing, they're keeping it interesting. We might not like all of it, but there's rationale is the why some of the stuff is there. So, or they're at least trying to do it.
Right.
All right. One thing that I did want to hit though, kind of switching gears. Did you get a chance to see the, Beetlejuice trailer?
Yes. Yes.
So what'd you think?
I'm looking forward to it. Dude, Beetlejuice is such a classic movie, and let alone the fact that it joined in that weird-ass trend of, like, 80s, 90s movies becoming fucking cartoons for kids, where you have fucking Ghostbusters became one of the most beloved cartoons of the 80s. There was a Rambo cartoon.
Yeah.
There was Jaws cartoon, or not, no, not Jaws. I was thinking video game. But there was like all these like cartoons that were based on these adult things. I still was waiting for like a Time Cop cartoon, RoboCop cartoon, you know, and then there was Beetlejuice, and Beetlejuice was an awesome cartoon too. Like, there was so much of it translated so well, and it just became such a big part of a lot of our childhoods. And to think that this long after the original Beetlejuice, we're now getting another one. And I mean, there was, just like the other ones, there was rumors of this sequel. It was like Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii or something like that, and like there was all these different rumors of all these different ideas they had for these sequels. Same thing with Ghostbusters. Before Afterlife came out, there were so many rumors of like, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, Venkman's going to be dead, he's going to be a ghost, and he's going to be helping them, and like, which you know, they ended up adapting. I think we can talk about it at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they ended up adapting for Egon since Harold Ramis died. And boy, was that a, again, I can't stop singing that movie's praises. But I think this one's going to be really good.
Yeah, really, I do too. It was cool to see every, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of the main players anyway, back in the trailer. And it's cool too. The one thing, and it's, and I guess the one thing at least that, that Michael Keaton has anyway, is that the makeup for Beetlejuice, it doesn't matter. He looks exactly the same as he did in 1988. You know, cause of that kind of that, you know, he looked dead then. So, yeah. I mean, you know, fast forward, you know, 35 plus years. I mean, it's not going to look much different with it. So, so that was cool, but everyone else looked really good too. You know, as far as, you know, considering it's been how long ago it was,
right,
moving to now. So now really looking forward to it and just kind of curious as to how that actually goes. And the title's awesome.
Yeah.
I just, it could not come up with anything better. I love it. I kind of figured, I knew the working title had been Beetlejuice 2. I was like, there's no way they're going to go with that. I didn't know what that was going to be. So love the name. They did a great job with that. And it's simple. I mean, it makes, it's perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it opens itself up to, you know, hey, we could pull this off and do Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to, hopefully when I get done with this whole moving thing, going to see Frozen Empire.
Yeah. I want to see that so bad. I haven't, tried to avoid reading anything beyond what I'd already watched trailer wise prior to it coming out. So I've avoided everything I possibly can with it. So
yeah, me too. And I keep seeing, like, I guess people are shitting on it, but the one thing I read the other night was somebody posting on a group in Facebook, and it said, listen, if you liked the first movie and you either shit on the cartoon, you shit on Ghostbusters 2, you shit on the 16 remake, and you shit on Afterlife, and now you're shitting on this movie, maybe it's not that you're a Ghostbusters fan, but you happen to like this one movie from your childhood.
Right, exactly. No, 100%. And I think, you know, like you said, just now running through all of it, you stack up the original to anything else in the series, yeah, it's very difficult. As much as I loved Afterlife, you know, Afterlife obviously is a great movie. Not as good as the original, obviously.
Right.
But it's a fantastic movie. And I really like Ghostbusters 2, but for your general audience, it's tough. It's a little different. It's at times it's a little darker. You know, you have some interesting, you know, things at play there that just make that a different movie. Still a good movie though, and they do some really cool like effects in that movie, given the time. You know, and yeah, look, you mentioned that the cartoon was awesome, you know, but again, the cartoon was different enough from the movies that I thought I was watching something else. You know, it was a cartoon. So, you know.
I mean, in the 16, that one, I've never seen it. Don't really plan on seeing it, but I don't think I was the target audience.
Yeah. Okay. So I watched it. And I don't have like the greatest things to say about it. However, if nothing else had been released, if that was its own entity and we didn't know what the Ghostbusters was, it's a good popcorn film at that point.
Right.
The problem is that you had such an iconic franchise and you kind of dumped on it. And that's the problem there. If it was called something else, you know, which obviously wouldn't have sold tickets. And I think that's the problem a lot of people have. It's like, you know, I mean, hell, Bill Murray shows up in it, but not as Venkman. You have some issues like that with it, and yeah, it, you know, tends to really.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, and I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, you know, if you don't like the 16 Ghostbusters, you're not a Ghostbusters fan. No, obviously, like, you're going to dislike certain things about than any franchise does for the most part. But the point of it, the point of the post was like, if you liked the original, but you've hated everything since and you can't stop talking shit, then maybe you're, you know, you liked one movie and that's it. And that's fine. But admit that, okay, I'm not really a Ghostbusters fan, but I really liked the first movie.
Right. And it's probably the same person that's like, I love Back to the Future. Didn't care for the second one. Didn't care for the third one. Absolutely hated the video game, video games that come out. Oh, you know what? That cartoon is crap too. You know, it's the same deal.
Right.
Like, just admit that, yeah, you liked things that came out in 1984, 1985. Right. And move on with it.
It's like being a movie hipster.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's, to me, there's nothing wrong with finding enjoyment with any movie, particularly a sequel. You know, I'm in the minority that thinks Major League 2 is better than Major League 1. I know that, you know, I would freely admit that. There are times when I watch Clerks 2, and as much as I love the first movie, I love Clerks 2 even more sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain sequels. Terminator 2 is a perfect example. Oh, where it far outdoes the original. You know, and I believe Aliens is that way too, where Aliens is better than the original. You know, but, you know, there's certain things that, you know, it's like, oh, it's a sequel. It's not for me or whatever. That's fine. Then don't watch it.
Right.
You know, you can find your enjoyment of it. It's like you said, it's movie hipsters, if you will. You know, I'm only going to watch the original Jaws because the rest of them are crap, which probably not too far from the truth.
Right.
But
that's, you know, that's the point.
Yeah, you could still watch 2 and 3 and whatever, and maybe find enjoyment out of it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, it's why they're there. I mean, of course, they were there to make money, but yeah. I don't know. So what you got, man?
Dude, we've got some, speaking of sequels, we've got a new Bad Boys movie coming out.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm the biggest fan of those movies. I know I saw the first one. I believe I saw the second one. I didn't see the third one. And I don't know that I'll see the fourth one. But it is coming out, and it is, shit, I love, there he is. Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that there's a fourth movie now. But you know what? I mean, they have a heck of a fan base, I know that.
Yeah.
And the original is frankly a truly iconic. What is that? It was it like 98? What movie did that time that come out? What was the original one?
Was it 90?
95. Wow. Yeah,
I thought it was
dang, early. Hard to believe. I could have sworn it was later in the 90s, but no, it's like, it's an iconic 90s movie. And yeah, no, they just they hit gold with it and ran out these sequels. It's just kind of funny that all these years later they're still doing it.
But yeah.
You know, I guess same could be said for Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's true. And something I just now saw. Apparently Jerry Bruckheimer is making a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and it's going to be a reboot.
Oh, let's see. I don't know. Let's see. I've heard rumors about this. So it'd be the sixth one. Yeah, because they're basically replacing everybody, aren't they?
Yeah, it says there will not be... Johnny Depp will not be in it.
Yeah, I don't even know where you go with it then at that point.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused.
Yeah. I'd have to know more about it and who was going to be in it, but I don't know. And okay, here's my take on it. You want to keep the series going, that's fine. But have a whole new cast of characters. Don't just recast existing people.
Yeah.
move it out into the future, like 50 years or whatever. And I realize those movies are very science fiction based, but you can move it out and there's still humans there. So kids or grandkids or whatever, the original people are long gone, type thing.
Yeah. Another sequel, and this one I'm super excited to see, is, and I didn't think I would be, considering they actually delve into fucking Hollow Earth theory in this. So that throws me way off track. But Godzilla X Kong. So Godzilla and Kong team up together.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Godzilla's got a sweet, like, robot arm. King Kong's got a sweet robot arm.
All right, I got to see this now. All right. Cool. I could dig that.
Yeah, so it looks like, I guess, some other kaiju are coming up, and King Kong and Godzilla team up to save Earth.
Hey, you know what? King Kong knows what's up.
That's right. King Kong knows what's up. I mean, as long as it's not that fucking Peter Jackson's King Kong movie.
Yeah.
That shit was terrible. Yeah. It was one of the only things I could honestly say that I watched that had Jack Black in it that I didn't like.
Yeah, it's just not good
at all. And there was that movie Year One with Jack Black and Michael Cera.
I didn't see that one.
I saw it in the theater, and I fucking wish I didn't. It was fucking terrible.
I'd heard. Is there? Yeah, there's a. That's you say Jack Black, and I remember that talking about sequels. That's been rumored too. Not that there's anything officially announced, but the School of Rock 2.
Yeah,
has been chatted about. So
yeah,
recently, and again, nothing officially announced, but
I'd be down with that. Dude, to me, like, Jack Black can do very little wrong.
And yeah. Whether it's the Tenacious D stuff or even his bit roles, like in Anchorman or, and just everything that I've ever seen him in is, you typically been pretty funny. So
fucking Nacho Libre.
Exactly. Now he's, you're right. Hard to do wrong. Speaking of sequels, another one, again, take this with a grain of salt. I really don't know where this is going, but this was announced a few days ago by Christopher McDonald, who's the actor that plays Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore. And he stated that Adam Sandler is working on a sequel. He kind of turned over a script or partial script to him. Who knows, man? This could be kind of fun if it is. I just don't know where you take it at this point, because I was happy on the senior PGA tour at this point.
I mean, maybe it's the comeback story. Maybe Happy, Happy has been at the top of his game and fallen off. They could do kind of like a, I don't want to say Tiger Woods, because you don't want to have Happy Gilmore like cheating on his Scandinavian model wife and getting into domestic disputes with her, but like maybe he's fallen off and he gets kicked off the tour, and then he does like a Rocky type comeback, and then he's got to face Shooter again.
I could see that. And to me, it was funny, being such a fan of the original, I always thought that you could actually have an entire movie just on Shooter McGavin.
Oh yeah.
And that could be your sequel, because the character is so good. Of course, I'm a big fan of his, and whether it's the Shooter McGavin role or the he plays Cole in Dirty Work, it's just perfect. It's him. I mean, so I always thought you could do a sequel just focusing on him. But no, I don't know. I don't know if this is actually going to be legit. He's pulling everyone's legs, whatever. But I'm down for it, because I love the original so much I don't care how old these guys are. The problem is, though, is that some of these people are obviously dying off. Chubbs, unfortunately, recently, and I can't imagine that his grandmother is still alive.
Yeah, no.
Probably not.
Probably not. She definitely didn't outlive Chubbs.
No.
But you know, you could have Chubbs Jr.
You could see, and that's the thing. Like you could do like the next generation.
Wait, Chubbs Jr. played by Michael B. Jordan.
There you go. Hey, I actually reminds me. There's a kid. He's probably, I think he's in college age. You ever seen on Instagram Snappy Gilmore?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The insane, like, one-handed drives. Yeah. It's fun to watch. They have to include Snappy in it somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
So.
Is he the one that got the scholarship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, cool stuff. I enjoy watching his videos. Like, one of the few people I'll actually go out of my way to check out, see what he has, because I don't know, it's unique. But no, it was cool. I saw that announced. I saw that rumored. Of course, take it for what it's worth. That's coming from the mouth of Shooter. So,
and Shooter's going to choke. All right, let's hit a couple more things. So there is going to be another Boondock Saints sequel.
Yes, that's right. Troy
Duffy is out.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
He seems like kind of a douchebag, so I'm kind of okay with it.
And talking about, like, okay, the sequel's enjoyable, but it's not a good movie.
No.
So, I mean, it's watchable. I've watched a couple times, but that's about where I'm at with it.
But it's more like, I don't know. I just hope this redeems it.
Yeah. It's what sucks is it's like one of the strongest characters dies in the first one, and that's what kills it. You know, Rocco dies, and that's just, you know, it kills it. You know, and now you've gone all this time, and obviously other actors have moved on, passed on, whatever. So,
yeah. And then in that same vein, if we're talking about things from the 90s that are making a comeback, or that was late 2000 or early 2000s, but X-Men, the animated series, has made a comeback. It's on Disney Plus, X-Men 97. You hadn't watched the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched both the episodes that are on Disney Plus. Fantastic. Some of the voices have changed due to people dying or being too old to play the roles and their voice having changed. Some of them are the same. Some of them, for representation reasons, they've changed, which it wasn't that the other actors or actresses were pushed out. They willingly gave up their role.
Mm-hmm.
They were offered the position and they said, hey, no, this should be played by somebody who represents the character. I don't, so I'm going to pass, but thank you very much for the opportunity. And then they're going to get roles elsewhere in the show. Which, cool, you know, it is what it is. I'm never going to fault actors for doing that kind of stuff. It's not like the studio was like, hey, no, you're out. You know, they were willingly giving it up. So
yeah, it's not like they were like, hey, this is the role that you have, and if you say no, then yeah, there's the street.
The other thing that's coming out about it, which I really really super enjoy it. There's definitely a marked tone difference. It's very, very similar to the original, but there is, you can tell that it's a little bit more for adults than it is kids. Like, it's not like brutal, but you can tell that they don't have to follow the same codes that the Saturday morning cartoons had.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Because the original aired on Saturday mornings. I mean, yeah, you kind of had, you know, a little bit of a walled garden you had to play in. So
yeah, and I'm fairly certain that Wolverine dropped a damn on the show, a damn or a hell. I don't remember, but you know,
yeah, no, it looks cool. It's funny. We were walking through the mall about a month ago, and we're just looking at the back of FYE, and they had all the action figures and stuff. And it was funny because they had the X-Men 97 action figures. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, I'm pretty certain I have like some of the originals still in their packaging, like in my garage that were from the, same era, you know, and now here they are all these years later. You know what I mean? That look very similar. They just had the little 97.
Dude, they're worth some bank if you still have them in the package.
Yeah, they're not anything crazy though. I think I have like an Omega, and I think I do have a Wolverine, you know, yellow, black, and blue. Yeah. But like that's about it. And I know that like the Wolverine was different variations and whatever. I'm sure whatever I have is probably worth nothing, you know, because it was probably mass produced to no end. But it was a time. It was a brand of time though. I mean, I started keeping stuff packaged up, so. You know, I just don't have a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, I picked off a couple of like probably cheaper ones and just kept them in the packaging that type thing. I have to go hunt around and see. Yeah, watch it when it's sitting there, it's worth $50,000 or something.
Dude, I'm telling you, a look. And then, because that's what I was thinking too. I'm so pissed with the Wolverine and Deadpool movie that's coming out. The comic I keep seeing everywhere is Wolverine number 88. And it's the first time that Wolverine and Deadpool are in the same book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Wolverine, or it's a blue background with Deadpool in just black and red with his swords held up in an X, and Wolverine is on top of him and the swords are going through him.
Mm.
And I remember I had that book, and what I did is I specifically wanted that book and got it at TemD in Washington Township.
Oh, I remember that store.
Yeah. So I babysat for my aunt one night, and that was my payment, was getting that book.
Nice.
And that book has skyrocketed since that movie was announced. And I used to have it, and I sold it off when I got rid of my collection.
I just threw on eBay real quick because, yeah, I think this is the one I have. It's a 93 Uncanny X-Men 5-inch Wolverine. And they're going for, like, right now it's going for $40, $42 installs a day on it. So that's about what I have. It's nothing. I knew it wasn't anything crazy. I knew they were mass produced.
Yeah.
Because I probably picked it up for like $5 or something. I'm pretty certain it sells a KB sticker on it.
That KB sticker makes it worth more.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know what's funny? You say that, but somehow, some way, I've fallen into a couple of things on Facebook that I do not follow, but I guess because of like things that I've looked at, clicked on, whatever. One has to do with VHS tapes and like people getting them graded. And it's the craziest thing because it's like, look, this still has the original sticker from Caldor on it. It's like, wait, what? And it's like, oh, look at my, I got an 8.6. This is awesome. And it's like, what am I looking at?
Right.
So it's like, now because I've clicked one, I keep seeing more of it. And it's like watching a train wreck of people that are getting their VHS tapes graded, whatever. I mean,
it's so ridiculous.
I can knock the collector, but like, my goodness.
Look, here's the thing though. This is the, you know, people talk about like the post-capitalist, whatever. This is the post baseball card collector era. Like baseball cards were just little pieces of cardboard that kids collected and they would trade with their friends and putting spokes on their bikes and shit. And then all of a sudden somebody got it in their head, oh man, these things are worth money. And then it went to, oh, they're not worth anything. And then it went to, oh, if you grade them, if you send them to somebody to inspect, it makes them worth more money.
Yep.
And then that fucking went through the roof. And then it went the same way with comic books, and it went the same way with toys. And it went to fucking video games, which is still the bane of my fucking
Yeah, I see that too. You can't
get anything for a reasonable price. And now this is the end game for all collecting. Is VHS fucking tapes. What good is a sealed fucking VHS tape in a slab of fucking plastic? Last time I checked, You couldn't stare at a fucking VHS tape and watch what's on it. You have to actually take it out of its little box or sleeve or whatever, pop it in your fucking VCR, and press play. And hope that the little gremlin inside doesn't decide that it wants to eat that tape.
I think my goal is to find a Betamax of something, and I'll go pay to get it graded.
Dude, yeah. Oh, no. I'm going to go. I'm telling you right now. I'm going the fucking, what the fuck is it called? The, not Goodwill, the, fuck, what are those people called? The other ones.
Salvation Army?
Not Salvation Army, the, shit, yeah. I can't remember what they're called. Whatever the thrift store is. I'm going to the thrift store and I'm getting their fucking laser discs. I'm buying every fucking laser disc they have. Like, I hope I find 15 copies of Kindergarten Cop. And I'm sending them all in to get graded.
Yeah, you should.
Oh,
it is wild.
Though. Oh,
yeah. It's wild though to see. Like, I see that, and then the other one I kind of stumbled into, which is just again nothing I was looking at, but I guess because like I'm clicking on vintage video game stuff or whatever, is the CRT Collective, and that's a fun one in the sense of you do see some pretty neat things. But it's basically people that have trash picked, you know, and then they build these like cool, like retro things, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. I think some of the design stuff they have are cool. I really do. But then you come across some others that are like, what are you doing? Like, or the, I guess like Holy Grail stuff is like CRT with a working VHS or, you know, VCR.
Yeah.
That's it just cracks me up, man. It's like, I don't know, I guess because we lived through that era.
Yeah,
you know, and I think there's a time and place, especially for, you know, hey, if that's what you want to do, hook up CRT and hook up old consoles and whatever, hey, you know, that's awesome, especially if that's your prerogative. But at certain times I'm looking at what some of these other people are doing, and it's like, and it's funny because they'll call each other out too. Because I'll just read through the comments. Because I just think it's funny. It's like,
well, dude, and that's the thing. Like, I fully plan once I get up to South Carolina and I get everything set up. I fully plan on trying to find a good CRT. But I'm not gonna like break the bank on a fucking CRT because it is just for old video game systems. But I don't know about you, but I remember when everyone was just throwing them out.
Mm-hmm.
Sony Trinitrons, which that's like the gold standard of CRTs.
Mm-hmm.
People were just throwing them out, or free to a good home on Facebook Marketplace or on Craigslist or whatever. There was probably a stack of them outside of Kiwanis of just fucking CRTs because nobody fucking wanted them. And then all of a sudden, that's another thing that, oh fuck, we fucked up.
Yep. Hey, working where I work and all the things that have gone through our hands over time, I've had to pay to get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and not that I ever had anything like too crazy go through, you know, comparative to like what, you know, Trinitrons or whatever, but it's like, it's still wild to me. It's like, wow, this is crazy. Like to see this kind of like, hey, I found this for $5 or whatever. And it's like, dude, you could have picked up like 10 of them, like outside of someone's house, like down the entire street, like within the last 10 years.
And you know, if you would have tried to throw it out of a car and it didn't break, you could have just picked it up and thrown it over the side of a bridge.
They float.
They do.